This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And again, thank you to the longest running church member, onnit.com. Go there and get Alpha Brain, Swim Tech Immune, Swim Tech Sport, anything you want, use promo code church. And thank you to escapepodtank.com. They have all your sensory deprivation tanks. They're already going to save you thousands. But if you mention the church of what's happening now, or Joey Diaz, or Miss Pat, you're going to save an additional $250 off.
Oh shit. Are you fucking kidding me or what? I can feel it in my fucking bones. It's the Church of What's Happened Now, special edition, June 8th, 2014. The day the devil was fucking tortured at sea. They took his eyeball out. Fuck that cocksucker. What, Lee? Play that motherfucker for Uncle Joey. What? Wiggle, wiggle, cocksucker. Throw down. Come on, baby. What? This is the real shit right here. Fuck Game of Thrones. Here you go, right here. Here you go. Fuck Game of Thrones. Listen to this shit. You think this guy's not ready to sling dick on a Sunday? Listen to that fucking saxophone. Oh shit. This guy shows up balls ass naked with a saxophone. Listen to him, you manye. What? What, Lee? Oh shit. Oh shit. This is a fucking jam and a half, man. I was a kid when this fucking thing came on. My mom used to play this in the bar at night. Motherfuckers would go crazy. She'd mix in, like, Spanish music. They would go fucking bananas. Mosoma. What the fuck? Turn that shit off, Lee. Mosoma. What the fuck does that mean? I don't care. Sunday night, we're here, Lee Syatt and my girl. Miss Pat, you motherfuckers wanted it. There you go. You got it. That's how we drop it here. Miss Pat, don't fuck around. She got freaking flyer miles. She said, fuck it. I'll sit in the back of United playing eat peanuts like a motherfucker.
Eat peanuts.
I got a pad and fucking glasses. I work this motherfucker.
I ain't no peanuts. I got shit. Diabetes.
Really?
No peanuts? Yeah, them things, no, they too salty. You ain't never ate a peanut?
I eat peanuts, but I don't have diabetes.
Oh, I thought you say penis.
No, peanuts.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Peanuts.
Oh, I eat peanuts. I don't eat peanuts.
No, I would never disrespect you like that.
Oh, okay. I was like, this I don't happened. Eat no peanuts.
It's a pleasure.
Maybe
having
when
you.
I was in the seventh grade, but not now.
No, no. Mama cool, mama saw. What's up, Moso Ma? My main man, Lee Syatt, the flying Jew. Look at him.
Yeah.
Smoking cookie-less THC clean.
Oh, I watched the video back of Alpha Robles. Oh.
You look fucked up.
I was just dead.
You can't keep doing this no more. Leave yourself. You gotta go to rehab.
You had my favorite tweet of probably the century today.
What's that?
When you went off about people sending you pictures of hummus.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I don't want to see that shit. I don't like hummus. But see, it's a payback. It's karma. Karma's a motherfucker. When I was a kid, there was a dude I used to run with. He hated the smell of vinegar. He would fucking go crazy if he smelled vinegar. What would we do? We'd take a piece of paper, put vinegar, and put it in like six different locations in his office. This motherfucker would come and go, there's vinegar in here. And he would run out, get in his car, and go home. He would miss work. Somebody put vinegar in there, I'm not coming back. So they send the fucking cleaning lady, he would lose his mind. I was the king of that shit. And he hated cocaine. So if we didn't have vinegar, we'd get cocaine packets and put like a fishing line on it. And put it in front of him and, like, play with it, and he would lose his fucking mind. Or put aspirin in it and make believe it was fake, and he'd open it up and it'd drive him crazy. Who's doing coke around here?
Oh, he was
who
crazy.
The fuck is doing coke around here? I'll fire everybody.
He was What's the boss?
Yeah, his name is Wayne Means, cool motherfucker.
So he didn't like cocaine and clean vaginas?
No, he didn't like cocaine. He was an ex-biker. No, he was a biker, and he was a very interesting dude. He was a biker in the wintertime, and in the summertime he'd come back and he'd be a father. And he'd hook up with his wife for 6 months. Then for 6 months, he'd get a motorcycle.
He was Brokeback Mountain.
No, he was a fucking real hardcore biker dog, like with a fucking troop that ran speed or something. Because he made money those 6 months. He did something those 6 months.
He had to do something. Leaving and come back in 6 months. He was white, right?
Yep.
We don't give a fuck what. If our man's gone 6 months, you're going to get a warrant taken out on you. Child support or something. Something. Don't give a fuck. You gotta sell dope and come home like a regular job, unless you in jail.
You gotta show up and shit for dinner.
Fuck yeah.
What's happening, Miss Pat?
Nothing. Thank you for having me.
No, but listen, man. It was a popular demand, and sometimes you gotta get the people what they want. People always tweet me once or twice. I'll put this guy on, and yeah. Whatever. But once I saw you, I'm like, that's my girl. We gotta put something together. I didn't know you all the way in Indy. I would have sent Lee to. Are you in Atlanta?
I'm in Indy.
Oh, you're in Indy and shit. How far from? Are you in Indiana?
I'm right outside by the airport.
I always wanted to go back to Indiana and shit. When I was a kid, I wanted to move to Muncie. I swear to God, I want to be like Michael Jackson. Then
Michael ain't from Muncie. He's from Gary.
Gary. Same shit, a different smell. You know what I'm saying?
No, Gary, they kill your ass.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
You need to pull up the crime rate. Them
is it still bad?
I've never been to Gary.
All your life, really? Is it that bad?
I only been in Indy 7 years with my husband's job. So okay. I go to airport home. I don't fuck with Indy.
Okay.
I mean, the city is very supportive of what I do. I just don't get around it. I want to go home. I'm from Atlanta. Okay. So that's where I'd rather be.
I ain't mad at you. Atlanta's very nice.
It's a lot to do.
You ever been to the Chocolate City?
No, no.
You would sling big dick in ATL. You know what I'm saying?
When I first graduated college, I was thinking about going there because CNN's there. I was thinking about because I didn't really like LA the first time I was here.
You was gonna go because CNN was there, not to get late.
Well,
that too.
Okay,
he likes the sisters.
No, yeah, my girl.
You like the sisters?
Right before I moved out here, I was with one for a year and a half, and I was gonna move there.
He said he was with one.
Yeah.
Well, one. I don't know. I can't say sister.
You can't say fucking sister.
It sounds weird coming
from. It's better than saying color girl.
Yeah.
Well,
she was black.
Yeah.
Say that. Jeez.
You like black women?
It's I'm Jewish. And right now I'm dating a Mexican girl. I just anything that's different from my mom, basically, as far away as
fuck
you can get.
Fuck your mom, fucked you up.
No, I love her. It's just
he just don't want Jewish women. He don't mingle well with Jewish women.
That's what my daughter said. My daughter is gay.
Yeah.
She said any bitch is different than you. So she went out and got one that looked like Robin Thicke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. I mean, it's the same.
A white girl.
Yeah, she got a white girl.
Shit.
Look just like Robin Thicke. I like her too.
It's amazing. It's amazing what's going on in society. Man.
Yeah.
You couldn't just go home and tell your mom 30 years ago that you were gay.
No, but you know what? I think it's something in the water these days. When your child is gay, they drink it and they just glow like, bing, I'm gay. Because I knew my daughter was gay a long fucking time.
Did you? You knew it?
Yeah, you can tell when a child is gay.
How old?
When she was gay?
How old did you know? How old was
she? Probably about 11, 10 really? Or 11. Because everybody else, you know, I raised my sister kids, so everybody else was trying to get fucked. She was trying to read a book. So I'm like, why aren't she trying to get fucked?
At 11?
Well, I was fucking at 11, but you know how girls start to feel themselves and smell themselves. You know, liking boys. She never had that interest. So we kind of knew she was gay. Plus, my mother-in-law, who's really, really Christian, she told me one day, she was like, we was over our house for a cookout. She was like, this child got a gay spirit on. I was like, fuck you. What the fuck is a gay spirit? But she was right.
She was right.
Yeah. But she's happy. So whatever make you happy,
nah,
you know.
That's your kid. You know, if it, happy.
Hey, if eating clicks make you happy, eat the click.
Fuck it. Let's lick that motherfucker. Mama cool side.
What's so fucked up is because we look just alike. And I'll be like, why do you be doing that to my face? I bet you my face have seen more pussy because I ain't seen my pussy in my 15 years. Well, my face on her body have seen more pussy than anything. But she liked licking it. She lost her teeth behind bad pussy and then she got them fixed. So now she got great teeth. She can take them out, do a thing, put them back.
That is fucking craziness. I love it. I love it. It's a perfect Sunday night fucking show. You don't want to bite this cookie of death tonight?
No, God.
You all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
You bought, what kind of cookies you got?
No, I'm just tea. I got these medical marijuana cookies that Lee don't like.
Well, it's because
they fuck him up.
Everybody else has a little bit. He just, you don't listen to doses. It'd be like if you took the entire bottle of Vicodin after a surgery and just like took the entire bottle.
I take care of you. You're
you can't give him that kind of stuff. That's messed up.
I don't give him Vicodin. I give him medical marijuana cookie. He loves it. Who are you kidding? He giggles and shit. Last week he was giggling at stupid fucking jokes or whatever. So you have a child now that's 16 and one's 14.
Yeah, they live. Yeah, two
and,
at home.
And they know what you do.
Yeah, they
and
know what I do.
They know. They're digging every moment of it.
Yeah, because I be out talking about their fat asses. You don't talk about your kids. I talk about my kids.
She's fucking 17 months old today. What am I going to say about her? She fucking is a savage. She is a fucking savage.
Oh, well, you just had a baby?
I'm 51, yeah.
Why you wait so fucking long? You supposed to do that in elementary school and get it out the way.
I've been with her since, 2099. Ooh. Nothing ever happened. 2 years ago, boom, she got pregnant.
Fuck. Nothing How old ever. Is she?
She's 44 now. She was 42.
Right before the thing about to close down, she get pregnant. She Holy fuck. Pregnant. I know she had to be pissed off.
No, she's a different woman.
Is this the first baby for her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People are happy about their first child.
She's in fucking heaven. She's a different woman.
Are y'all going to do it again?
I'm 51. I can't barely do it. I gotta do other things right now. I got to take care of this shit.
You can barely have sex or you can barely get somebody pregnant?
I don't want to get nobody pregnant again.
Oh, okay.
That's it. This is a lot of work at 51, dog.
Yeah, that's why I had mine in elementary.
Yeah, no.
Because you don't have the patience to hear that shit around your house. Like, shut the fuck up, but you can't say shut the fuck up. Because I just moved my niece in with her four kids. She was homeless, and she got babies. And I got a big-ass house where I'm used to peace, and these kids run around want to talk. Get the fuck out of my office. Who the fuck are you? And I forgot I let her move in. I don't want to fucking talk to you fucking kids in the two-year-old. She got a two-year-old. She can't talk worth shit. But for some reason, the two-year-old keep calling me Uncle Garrett. I'm like, bitch, I am a girl. I'm not a fucking Uncle Garrett. Fuck out. Here if I stick you, baby. And you know, her little two-year-old looking like a little stud muffin. Look like gonna be a stud when he grow up. Real muscular, look like a little boy. We had to get her ears pierced because everybody kept thinking she was a fucking boy with a pink shirt on.
So how many kids you got at the house? Six right now.
Yes, six. And damn. Four of them is hers. And two of them pee the bed. And you know, you're like, look here, these motherfuckers gotta stop pitting. But thank God, my daddy died a couple years ago. He left his hospital bed. And I was gonna throw it away, but in the back of my mind,
pop up.
My mom was like, somebody's gonna come to piss on this bed. And she brought some pissy ass kids, and they be back there wearing that damn plastic mattress out. So I got six kids at the house, and my kids hate them because they used to having the whole house. My house is like 6,000 square feet, and I got to share with these four kids. But they was homeless, and I tell my kids, be grateful that you know we can help somebody. But it ain't easy because the baby be hollering and. My niece be having on, this bitch put on an earphone to get away from her own kids. She only 23 with four kids. Oh. Yeah, and then she was talking about nobody feels sorry for me. Well, nobody felt sorry for you when you had your fucking legs in the air, bitch. Did you, after two, maybe you was thinking maybe I couldn't afford this shit. Maybe after one, but you had four, bitch. You had four fucking babies. Then what, somebody's supposed to feel sorry for you? Well, get a job. But she got a job at my house because I don't play that shit.
Let me ask you something. How crazy, like years ago, I've heard women at comedy show go, they're either born again virgins or they're holding out to have sex or they're virgins. It's a big thing. When I was a kid, everybody fucked at 12. Everybody
me
was
too.
Fucking. That neighborhood in Jersey, they were fucking.
I was 12. I was 22.
Naive. I didn't believe you were 12 and he was 22.
Yeah, I was. Now that was child molestation today. Right, back then, it was somebody helping the mama out.
That shit just happened somewhere.
Yeah.
He bought her a computer for Christmas. The janitor.
This motherfucker was married. He was married. His wife was pregnant. And she gave birth in August. In November. January. And I gave birth in August. And nobody questioned this asshole about getting this girl pregnant. Nobody. Some good sex now. I can say that because don't nobody listen to the podcast. Some good sex back in the day because, of course, you don't really know what good dick is when you only had one dick at a time. Then when you get multiple dick and you realize that first dick won all that, you know, it was just some, you
white
know.
Shit.
No, unemployed dick is delicious. Yeah. I say that all the time. Unemployed dick. It's like Obamacare. It don't work, but it's good.
12 years old, and he was 22.
He was 22.
And nobody said dick.
Oh, I had a second baby by him. Nobody said dick.
Where is he today?
But he almost your age.
No shit.
You, I think you got him by 1 year this year.
And you still talk to him?
I think that was him to just call me. Every now and then, I still talk to the pussy. He just took out a one on my daughter because his stepdaughter ran away with my daughter, pussy ass. And, I don't know, just some old drama shit. That's what he do. He work at Jiffy Lube in Atlanta if you ever need a hookup on an oil change.
Oh, shit. Man, That's fucking crazy.
I had two kids by him. Then later on, I got pregnant again. I had an abortion. Because I was like, this motherfucker just going to keep on punching me in my left eye on Friday, getting me pregnant, and not showing up for 9 months. So I was like, I can't keep having these babies by this piece of shit.
What do you think? I can't imagine now. At 25, I feel like I'm too young. Like, at 12, like, what are you at 13? Like, how can you, think about taking care of one? I can't even imagine.
I think when you're a mom, that fucking, it just kicks in. Hey, I'm a mom. I got a responsibility. If you care anything about the kids, so you start your survival mode. So that's what I did. I started my survival mode, and I went and got my first job. I made a fake ID and went and worked at the Huddle House.
The Haunted House?
It's like the Waffle House.
Okay.
It used to be called a Huddle House back in the day before the Waffle House.
Where was this at?
In Georgia.
Georgia.
So I worked there, and that's how I bought Pampers.
Jesus.
12 and 13.
How much were you making there? Like $4 an hour? $5?
It was like $2.10 an hour, but you got tips. And then I've always stole on every job I ever had. So, by the time you say, hey, motherfucker, give me $5 for this meal, and then you throw the ticket away. So it's a hustle. It was a hustle. That's how I took care of him.
It's amazing how, I don't have a fucking trade, I can't fix an air conditioner. I can paint a wall if I have to. I can't fix a computer. But I can hustle.
I can hustle.
And hustle is it's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy.
Because everybody can't hustle. I look at the comedy game, like the drug dealing game, because I used to sell crack.
That's how I do it.
Because if you put it in your mind you really want to lock down this situation, you're going to fucking work hard. And I just applied all of my dope dealing skills. Only skill I don't use in comedy is turning cocaine to crack. That's the only skill I don't use. Other than that, I use everything else just to hustle, getting out there, doing what you got to do, busting your ass. It's the same thing.
Just waking up in the morning not knowing.
Not knowing.
How scary is that? Opening up your eyes and going, I saved a half a juice from last night. I got a half a joint. I got $2.
Yep.
And tonight's Thursday. That means I got to show up with a gram of blow. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. And that's it. You just go out. And it's like treasure hunting.
Yeah.
It's like fucking treasure hunting.
But the good thing about mine is I had a trap. You know what that is.
What's that?
Well, you stand on a corner. That was my corner, which unfortunately it was in front of my daughter's school. But that was my trap. So I could go there every day. I had like crackheads locked in.
Okay, all right. That's...
Yeah.
No, I didn't have... I didn't do the crack part, but I went to a place where everything went down. So somebody would come in, three dudes would be drinking, and then one dude would come over to me and go, dog, we get a fucking gram of coke right now. Boom, they pay $100, cost me $1.75 for an 8-ball. I got this motherfucker.
No, I didn't do that. I had real life crackheads that I looked forward to every Friday.
Yeah, like Joe, you kind of fell into drug deals most of the time. Seems like Miss Pat was like a drug dealer.
I was a dealer.
I would go in and out. I did it for 6 months straight, then I lost I got out, and then I got arrested a year later, but I knew how to make a quick buck.
No, I did. That was my job every day, to get up, pick up the crack, and like I usually pick up the drugs on the weekend, stuff them in my kids' underwear, and drive back. Because that was the thing. Everybody, you had to hide it somewhere. So, this is when crack first hit the black community. So what you do, you hide them in your kids' underwear. Nobody's fucking with a 2-year-old shitty baby.
Now, where were you when crack hit? What year was this and where were you?
I had just had my daughter, so it was 86. I was in Atlanta.
86, yeah.
Yeah, the West End of Atlanta.
Because at 84 is when I went to New York City, and I went to a spot where they had reefer.
Reef.
They called it the Master Mix. They had green weed, Thai weed, and they called it the Master Mix. They put both of them together. And I went back like February of 85, and I said, where's the weed? And they looked at me like, what? This ain't a weed block, no, it was straight up crack. And I didn't even know what the fuck they were talking about. I'm like, what's crack? And they showed it to me, a vial with this rock, and I was like, nah.
See, we never did the vials in Atlanta. We did the little plastic bags. And we just, you know, I learned, I mean, when I first started, my kid's father used to sell it. And I just thought he was some pussy-ass Negro. I was like, I can do this shit better than you. So I went out and I got a friend from my old neighborhood. And I was like, he was like, you should come over here to my old neighborhood and sell crack. And I was like, well, I can get the dope, but you got to show me how to do it. So he taught me how to cook it, how to cut it. We was partners for a long time. I had my first $100,000 at 16. I had no fucking license, and I had about 8 cars. I had a learner license. So I would just give the police in Atlanta a few extra dollars. They let me drive on my learner license. And when the ones that worked that didn't like me, I just put a crackhead on the passenger side. Because, you know, you can drive with a learner license. Right, that's right. How I learned how to drive, through a crackhead. I learned every fucking thing. So I learned from my partner how to cook it, and we ran a business. We was making like $10,000, $15,000 a day. I was 15 years old. Mm. 15 years old. And but my kid's father used to beat on me all the time, a lot. Like, he shot me in the back of the head. He used to just beat on me. And he was like, this is bad business. Him jumping on you, you calling the police, and the police know you rabid, because that was my drug dealer name. And he was like, that's just bad business. So we split our money, and we went our separate ways. So he stayed up at the top of the hill, and I moved at the bottom of the hill. Because my kid's father used to cheat all the time. He would take my money and buy my money and take these bitches and wine and dine. I show up somewhere, he got this bitch in my car with my jewelry on. So I'm choking this bitch out, and he pull off and leave us fight. Like, you gonna leave your hoe and me? You ain't gonna help neither one of us. So I used to catch him like that all the time, spending my money on hoes. I go over, I would just track his ass down before GPS was even out. Because he was so stupid. He was slipping, say he was certain places. One time I caught him in the bed with 3 bitches.
At 16, what the fuck were you thinking at that time? When you woke up in the morning and you had cash and you had your corner, what the fuck were you thinking? And you had the 2 kids.
I had 2 kids.
2 kids, 16, 17.
Survivor. Man. I was thinking.
And you know, they catch you lose your fucking kids, right? You
going to I've been system. In prison. No, that my kids, I had too many people. When you got money, you got good friends and bad friends. So when I finally did time, I had somebody there to keep my kids. So, you know, they never, you know, because what it was is that I had my 3 nieces, which was my kid's father's niece, so I taught them how to sell crack. And then I had my cousin, her name was Boo, I taught her how to sell crack. So I let the kids handle the crack, because we was fucking all kids, because everybody thought I was grown. Really, I was fucking 15 years old, running the whole block. It just one day somebody was like, how old are you? And I was like, 15. They was like, bitch, we've been saying miss to you, and you all age. They couldn't lock nobody up, because we was a bunch of fucking juveniles selling dope. But I act so grown, because I had my first apartment at 13, 14. Yeah. I don't make me some fucking fake ID, walking that motherfucking talk like I'm grown with a baby. Who the fuck are you? How you gonna tell me I'm not 21?
It's amazing. Maybe your spirit was 21.
My spirit was 21. When you walk into
it. Because I was thinking about that. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, and I said, how's your daughter? And she goes, you know, Coke, she stays in every fucking night. We were out all the time. We were 18. This girl goes 1-2 nights a week. She stays out till 11 with a girl. He goes, I got no problems with that. But fuck, we were out every night. And I was thinking about how when we were 16, we were going out. Because in Jersey, it was 18. Mm-hmm. New York City was 18. So at 16, 15, you were already out, because you looked fucking 18. Once you got to 15, they don't know how fucking old you are. It's how you walked in there, how you held yourself up.
You know, at 15, at 16, when we didn't have ID to get beer, everybody would send me in because I had really big titties. So they were like, Rabbit, you go in and buy the beer because you the old-looking bitch. So I would always go in the store. And you know, when you in the hood, if you look back in those days, back in those days, you could walk to the store and buy your mama a cigarette. And the people were like, okay, this for your
right,
mama.
Right, right,
and nobody
right.
gave a fuck.
Yeah, so I would go in there and booze.
Yeah, buy a six-pack of beer and fucking, you know.
He wouldn't even think about it.
He wouldn't even think about it. Everybody else looked like kids.
You imagine that shit, Lee, going to the store and going, my mom sent me. Let me get 2 packs of Marlboro. Let me get 2 bottles of Scotch, rolling papers.
Yeah. In the town where I grew up, they card 40-year-olds. So it's just, I can't, this is foreign. This is all foreign to me. So I'm just like, my mouth's wide open. Like for people listening, like, you two are perfect together. But everyone who's listening doesn't relate to this at all. Like, remember when my baby daddy shot you in the back of the head? You're like, yeah, I got that. You're 16. You're selling crack. Like, what? I can't even... It's just so
I
crazy.
I mean, like, because when the drug hit the black community, I tell you, the first time I ever came into heroin, I can't say that drug for shit, heroin or whatever the fuck you call it. Anyway, my mama shot up her whole life. My mama shot up diabetic medication, so I was familiar with needles. But when we moved into this community, that's when heroin just hit the black community. And
what year was this?
I hadn't had a baby yet, so I was exposed to heroin before. One minute, no, I was pregnant, so it was probably 85. Because the next year I was exposed to crack. So
and where was this at? Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, at Atlanta, Georgia, over in it's called the West End.
Okay.
So, at that time, heroin and crack was in the community, but people was doing, I guess they were spearmen with heroin. So my next door neighbor would go and shoot the shit, and I'm not lying, he would get butt ass naked. And I'm sitting on the back porch, and nobody would say shit. He would run over to me. I'm pregnant with my fucking first child, and just bend his ass over my face, and be like, "Rabbit, get the rat out of my ass." And I would be looking up his ass like, "J-Bell, ain't no rat in your ass. Your diabetes messing up." Because I told him he had diabetes like my mama. And I was like, "The rat hanging in the front. Get him, nigga, get him." That's what I thought he had. And he fucked every, so we got used to it. It was nothing to see J-Bell running around naked telling people to get the rat out of his ass on the weekend in front of the kids. Nobody.
That was heroin.
He was shooting heroin. He was shooting heroin. And every time he do, I used to love to see him do it. Because there's nothing like a black man with a real small penis. Because that shit drew his dick up like super small. And he would be out there sitting on a car with his ass spread eagle like somebody about to fuck him in the bunk. And the kids would be standing around and be like, "His asshole dirty."
That's fucking crazy.
That's the first time I ever seen somebody run a train on a woman. When women started getting on crack, and they would come to the crack house and they would get fucked. So I'm pregnant. We peeking through the house. We peeking through the window of the crack house. This is before I ever sold drugs. And this pretty white lady came over there. She's sucking dick, fucking everybody. And we just watch it. And they are fucking her with you know, the sandwich bags. They didn't have condoms, so they was in there putting on sandwich bags and Ziploc bags. And they're running a train on them.
That's how bad was fucking crack? Did you see it? What the fuck did it make people go crazy?
It made, you know what? It made, it really told
black
community.
I didn't know nothing about it. I knew nothing about it.
Right? Oh, crack told the black community.
And then in 89, no, in 90, I came back to New York after 6 years of being gone in Colorado, hidden in the mountains. I go to New York and I go, "Where do you get the blow?" And they go, "You gotta go to Yankee Stadium." And I went up to Yankee Stadium. I made the wrong fucking left and right, man. And I ran into Crackville, where you actually get out and stepped on the vials were everywhere. It was fucking Crackville.
It was like a zombie.
A zombie. It was like that show, whatever they fucking call it.
Because, you know, black women was beautiful. And that shit made them ugly. That's why I never used crack. Because when they hit our community and all those women started turning ugly, I know what I look like without hair and makeup. So if I smoke that shit and not comb my hair, somebody going to think I'm from the fucking zoo or something. It's like, this drug ain't for me. Mm-mm.
That was fucked up what happened to crack. Did you see it in Boston?
No, I mean,
he's a 25-year-old white kid. Lost his virginity at 19. What the fuck
you lost your virginity at 19?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Jeez, what'd you do till you're 19? You just whacked off?
Yeah, I mean, I did other stuff before then, but yeah, first
what
sex.
What kind of other stuff did you do?
Blowjobs and stuff. But
you gave blowjobs?
I didn't give them, I got them.
Who sucked your dick? Some high school girl?
Yeah.
You pay her $5?
No. Can't imagine.
Did she suck your titties too?
No.
Oh, she don't know the fuck she's doing.
One girl bit my nipple, and that was terrible.
That was the one out here you met.
Yeah, that was awful.
She bit your nipple, and Lee went fucking nuts. He was red in the face. He was angered.
It hurt. She bit it hard, and it like.
Who was you fucking, a crackhead?
No, it was fucking online dating.
Oh,
it was the worst. But
no, crack was something that, Jesus fucking Christ, they went because they broke it up into like a crack neighborhood. I mean, you made the left down for that.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel the energy. It was like being in a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
It was like being in the Thriller video. And then when you left there, I smoked crack. I smoked crack for a couple of months right here in California. Never smoked it before. On the way home from the Comedy Store at night, I would drive on this one street and I'd see these guys in the corner. And one night I just pulled up and I go, I couldn't get coke one night. I go, "What do you guys got?" And they go, we got whatever. And I go, give me a 20. And they gave it to me. I went home and I tried to cut it up and snort it. It burnt my fucking nose. And I told somebody this. And I go, no, that's fucking crack, guy. So I had it at the house. So one night when I ran out of coke, I got a coke can. I opened it up and I started smoking fucking crack. I smoked crack.
You smoked it on the can?
Out of the can.
Yeah, my brother used to smoke it on a can.
I smoked crack for about maybe 6 months. And then I went to El Paso, Texas for 2 weeks. And this had to be, 99, 2000. And I was in El Paso for those 2 weeks. I didn't smoke crack. I snorted coke. So I stopped smoking crack.
Why not just do coke? Like I
don't know. It was the craziest thing.
But like, why don't crack? I just liked it. Like, why did it become popular? Like,
it's segregated. Crack is for black people. Coke is for white people.
But you make crack with coke, right?
But here's what happened. God, I'm sorry.
I'm just like, why? Because you always say the thing like, why do I have to add stuff to my weed? Like, why not just do the coke? Like, if the drug dealers would get coke to make crack, like, why even waste their time?
Because the crack was cheaper.
Yeah.
You could, for $5, you got something. If I go to a place to get powder, for $5, I get a half a line.
Yeah, and you could add to it. Like, you could take crack when you cook it, and it was this thing called Comeback. You remember that?
Yeah, the
And it'd take just a little bit and blow that bitch up to a lot. So, as a drug dealer, you would be making, say if you was cooking a half an ounce, you could turn a half an ounce of powder into a whole ounce. So, where you was going to make $500, now you can make $1,000, but you probably only spent $300 or $400. Jesus. So, that's fucking great profit if you know math.
And when you went to prison, did you sell it there? Cause,
No, I didn't do drugs, so no.
I know you didn't do it, but I don't know if, like, because I know you guys probably didn't watch it, but Orange is the New Black, the prison show.
My brother watching it. Me and my husband watching the shit out of that.
It came out this weekend, and the new thing this season is there's a new person in the show who's selling drugs in the prison. And you didn't really do drugs in prison, right? You smoked weed a little bit, but
I did acid. Some hippie had acid. They had speed.
Yeah.
They had drugs. They had heroin, coke, stuff like that. I did heroin one time, but I didn't do the white heroin. I did the Mexican heroin. Oh. And I did a crank once or twice in there, and I did acid most. I didn't do any coke in there. I didn't smoke weed.
And did you?
I never did any drugs.
But did never you in your whole life?
Mm-mm. No. My mama was an alcoholic, and so I don't even smoke cigarettes. And I used to look at my mom and say, "Everything you do, bitch, I never do." I didn't say that to her, because you say that to a black mom, you get fucked up. You can curse out in your mind all you want to, but you wouldn't curse not in person. No, hell no. So, but everything she did, like she smoked weed,
mm-hmm.
and she got high all the time. She did alcohol, so I did none of that shit. Now my sister did. My sister do everything. She just got out of jail, so this is the first time in her whole life that I've known her that she's drug free.
It's funny because what happened was they supposedly like the CIA brought it into L.A. Whatever the fuck they're saying, Ricky Ross, Broadway Ricky Ross. But then it became this epidemic across the country. That's a great question, Lee, because it was $50. You know, cocaine came out and it was $100 a gram. That's it. 50 okay. for a half gram. No negotiation.
So it's kind of like when you say you cut cocaine, crack is like super cutting.
It's super cutting it.
But it's still strong?
It's still strong because they magnify it to the most powerful fucking source known to mankind. But then what happened was, the biggest problem, like in the mid-80s, was when the Bush administration, they were having a hard time smuggling ether into Colombia. And ether is what you use to wash the cocaine. It's what you wash it. And when you do cocaine at the end, when you suck it in, you get that little draw in your throat. That's why you do the blow, because of that taste. You can never taste is delicious. When you do that at the end, that's why people do that shit. That thing right there, that's the fucking money shot right there. That's like coming in somebody's asshole. You understand me? When somebody's blowing a balloon in your asshole, that's what the money shot. That first line.
Yeah.
That first, Lee, how you doing? Joe, you want a line of this shit? I just got it off this fucking black dude on the corner. All right, let me get on. That first gagger, that determines your evening.
Yeah.
That motherfucker right there is the money shot, that first line. And after that, it's every man on its own. So what happened was that taste went away. They had a smoke. They were washing it with gasoline.
Oh, I remember that shit. It was tasting I was getting it from some Cubans in Atlanta, and they had smothered it in, and everybody was bringing it back. This tastes like gasoline. I was like, well, bitch, unleaded is on sale.
Yeah. So what they did was they just burnt it down. You just taste it now. You taste the gas. Bro, I bought 9 ounces of this cat piss. That was tremendous. It fucked you up, but it smelled like fucking pure cat piss.
So what that, it was in a cat ass?
I don't know. Till this day, I don't know. I went over there. The guy always had good coke. I took it without sniffing it. I went home. I did 2 lines. I'm like, this tastes. And then it started tasting like cheese. There was a batch that started tasting like cheese.
Oh.
Because they ran out of shit to wash it with. So
what do you mean by wash it? Because I don't know nothing.
They take it and they fucking get the leaves and they fucking put the gasoline on.
Yeah.
The little Indian guy steps on it for 2 hours. Then he takes the extract and he mixes it with powder. Then it becomes a clay. Then he lets it sit overnight for fucking 92 hours. That whole process.
See, I didn't know that process.
So it tasted very fucking weird. So it was just, but before, like, the cocaine came out. Then in 81. 82 was Freebase.
Yep.
And that was a complete different thing. That's where they wash it with baking soda, and you have to come back. And that was a fucking heavy-duty white shit. That was like people with English accents were doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like.
And what was your friend doing when he walked around with a microwave? What was he making?
Bazookas. That's a complete. That's another form also.
Oh, jeez.
Where you take a gram of coke, put 2 tenths of baking soda and put it in the microwave oven.
Oh, yeah.
And then you bing it for 30 seconds. It comes out in a rock. You shave that motherfucker and you put it in a cigarette.
Okay.
Or a fucking joint.
They used to call them, geek joints.
Geek joints, bazookas, fucking
tarantula. You got him turning pink over there.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's and I feel like I want to let you guys talk most of it, but like, this is all stuff I have no experience, and most people have no experience, so it's just crazy. It's like it's a whole new education.
It's fucking crazy, and people are becoming millionaires off of crack because the profit margin.
Hey, I put my first daughter through private school with crack money.
Crack money will fucking make you, because all I got.
Not anymore, because people don't do it no more. No. Back in the day,
really, they don't do.
People do it.
If
you build it, they'll come. If you put a fucking motherfucking hot chick by In-N-Out Burger. And give her 30s and sell for 10. We'll get this business going up again. You're looking for a fucking job, Lee. Get some hoes out here, sell them some crack. You'll be back. They'll call you the Jewish fucking connection.
Oh my God. So you had $100,000 at 16 years old?
At 16 years old, I had my first $100,000.
Did you ever get to the point? Because Joe, I mean.
By mistake. Without knowing what she was doing.
And that's the point.
She wasn't even a fucking CEO.
Yeah.
No 4 years of college. No fucking nothing for all you fucking business majors that got a hot dog stand. You don't know dick, okay? Business is. Listen, the biggest gift you can learn in life is belly to belly sales.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing like belly to belly sales. That goes throughout your fucking life.
You know, that's why a lot of people jump off buildings, because they don't know how to handle stress from running business. When it's failed, they want to kill their fucking self. But for me and you, we like, fuck it, then that didn't work out. Let's start the next motherfucking thing. These hot dogs, we need to put chillers on the next motherfucker so all the business can stay up.
Well, did you lose it? Like, cause
fuck yeah, I lost it. I mean, anything comes fast, goes fast. Oh. So, you never heard that saying?
Well, I have, but I mean, most people know Joey's story, and he had a lot, and then so I don't know your story.
My mother had a lot, not me.
Well, you went through periods like doing the longest yard, and then you were addicted, so you went through a lot of money. Like, and when you think about it, if you didn't spend any of that money on coke, you'd be living in Beverly Hills right now.
No.
You don't think so?
But the whole thing was, it was, I don't even know what the fucking question was. This motherfucker confuses me all the time, this shit. Go ahead, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I mean, you know, when you out in the street, you're going to eventually have to spend that money. Either you're going to go to jail, motherfucker going to rob you, motherfucker going to try to kill you. That you can't. A lot of people say, I can get out of the business with this money. What comes fast goes fast. I mean, plus you got to remember, I'm a 16-year-old girl with that kind of money out of the hood. What I supposed to do with it? I did like everybody else, bought fucking joints, cars, and loud music and
Chinese
speakers.
Chinese food. You know, I made money from drugs on one run. In 85, 86, I made money from drugs, even though I was a fucking coke fiend, because the profit margin was so big. people were paying $1,800 an ounce. I was getting them for $800 an ounce and putting 10 grams of cut in that motherfucker and selling it for $1,800. They couldn't go, I couldn't lose money. And I had it sold before it got there. So I went under the bed and I swear to God, I started this little side business in maybe June of 86. And by August of 86, I had $60,000 under the bed, $50,000, eating stew out every day, eating at restaurants, thinking I'm Johnny La Bamba.
Johnny La Bamba.
By fucking November, I owed $40,000. I owed $40,000 to local drug dealers. So that's how fast it goes.
Oh, you don't, it goes fast.
You don't give a fuck.
I mean, you always got to keep a side hustle. Like before crack came along, and like I would go, my sister, these white guys was coming to the neighborhood, and only white people only came to your neighborhood if they was the insurance man or if they wanted to buy pussy. So I was, at the time, I was really into wrestling, and I was too young to really sell pussy, but my sister was selling pussy. So when my sister then wasn't there, I would tell the white men, you know, give me a ride to the wrestling match because I like wrestling. So they would pay me $100 while they jacked their dick. I watched. That's all they wanted me to do. So that was a really good side hustle for me.
While they just jerked off, you just watched them.
Yeah, he would drive me downtown and drop me off, but he'd be done jacked his dick all the way there. And I just be, he just wanted me to talk to him. And I was probably 11. So I would talk to him. Yeah, you work that dick, white man. He was going to pay me $100. I went, you know how far $100 went back in 85, 84? And I was going,
you can fly to L.A. from New York for $100 an
hour. Hell yeah. And I was like, yeah, beat it. And it wasn't that big, so if I didn't really peek over, I couldn't see.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing when you're in that world, when you see people's weaknesses and you see what people will do. And it's amazing how you're raised and how your perception of people is. Like, you respect people now, but you know people are creepy motherfuckers. When you see somebody jerk off in a car and pay you $100, it's not even fucking.
But just, you know what? When I was little, when I was real young and I was in elementary school, I remember as a kid on Friday, this dude would ride around in his car and jack his dick and look at the kids. And we called him the Ding-a-ling Man. Every Friday, we knew the Ding-a-ling Man was coming. And nobody was scared of the Ding-a-ling Man. We would tell the teacher, he's like, just stay away from the Ding-a-ling Man. He didn't want to fuck nobody. He just wanted to look at you and shoot off in his car. And we'd be like, oh, there go the Ding-a-ling Man. And when I asked people, I was like, y'all didn't have no Ding-a-ling Man? Everybody had a Ding-a-ling Man. Or if you didn't have money for cookies, you go over to the candy man house and let me touch that little titty, undeveloped titty. Okay, you can rub it. How many cookies you gonna give me?
There you go.
That was making money. I mean, you was earning what you got. I mean, yeah, it's child molestation now, but it wasn't nothing for an old dude to rub on your ass for some freeze pop in my neighborhood. And the Ding-a-ling Man was guaranteed to be there every Friday.
That's fucking crazy.
It's amazing how when you grow up, you're like, you think everything is normal.
Yes.
And I can't, and I don't want to, I'm not, none of this is judgment, but it's just like, growing up, I'm trying to think of me 11, and I, all this stuff you're saying, I can't, I don't know if I can handle it now, when I'm this, when that I'm
because,
11.
But that because your ass was sheltered, but if you wasn't sheltered, fuck yeah, you were handling, is it either you were handling or jump off a fucking bridge.
So what, when you raised your kids, would you want them to be sheltered, or do you want...
They were sheltered. One no Ding-a-ling Man in my motherfucking neighborhood. And if it was, he was going to get beat down.
But in a way, like it made you who you are, so is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it made me aware of what was going on in the world, that how I wasn't washed out the, like as a kid, like all the shit that happened to me, like I got molested and stuff like that, and I was like, nobody ain't never touching my daughter pussy. I would kill a motherfucker. Even after I got married, I had a talk with my daughter every day. I said, if my husband ever touch you, I want you to know, don't nobody who walks this earth mean more than you, and to you and your brother to me than y'all do. I kill a motherfucker. And I asked my daughter that from the time I married my husband, she was in the second grade until ninth grade, till she told me, can you please stop asking me this? I was like, well, why you want me to stop? If he would have touched me by now, don't you think I would have told you? I said, I just want you to know I go fuck him up right now. So, I mean, I don't think I was overprotected, but I kept an eye out because I knew the signs of a fucking Ding-a-ling Man and the ice cream man and the motherfucker who rub up against your titties for freeze pop. You know, people see your weakness and they play off your fucking weakness. You know, like my weakness was I didn't have nobody there to love me. So this grown ass dude come in and act like he loved me. And what did he do? He take my fucking virginity. You wasn't getting downtown like that with my daughter. Get the fuck away from here. I can buy my daughter her own clothes and shoes. I'm a supportive parent. But that's what happened when you grow up with an alcoholic parent and nobody's watching after your fucking, watching after their kids. You know, it wasn't shit for us to be in my granddaddy Looker house, you know, fucking dancing for the grown men. And they looking at us like we fucking ice cream pop. You know, it was the freakiest shit ever. But we had to dance for them.
That's funny because today my daughter ran in the park and then she slid on sand and she banged her head. And I was sitting there thinking about this book I'm trying to write in the narrative. And I was thinking about the narrative would be, would I let my daughter go to 148th Street now? Like, I grew up on 148th Street. That's not where I grew up. I grew up on 88th Street, but on the weekends I go up to do Santeria and shit with some crazy fucking Cubans. That's where my godmother lived. I saw a dead body the first time. I just saw all this shit. And I was thinking to myself, would I let my daughter go up there now? If somebody called me and said, hey, it's the summertime, send your daughter to New York for 2 weeks to come up and stay on 148, would I let her go up there? And that was, I was just thinking about that. How would I act towards something like that? Do I want to shelter Mercy?
Well, you can be honest to them, because with my kids, I used to say, you know, I'm not letting you go around my uncles or my family because the motherfuckers are crazy. Like, it ain't nothing like to go to a funeral and a fight break out. I'm serious. I mean, it ain't nothing to see a fight break out at your funeral because somebody mad over some bullshit 2 years ago. You know, first of all, my family only get together when somebody die. We don't have a fucking family reunion. When somebody die, we turn that shit into a family reunion and a funeral. Hey, I get to see you motherfuckers. I won't see you no more till somebody else's die. You know, like, I'm always telling the story about my granddaddy when he died, you know, how people just came and my cousin them showed their ass and my granddaddy laying in the casket, her kids beating on my granddaddy and all kind of crazy shit. So, you know, it's with me, I just tell my family, this is my family, but this ain't my family. We see these motherfuckers when somebody die.
What did you do differently when you were raising your daughters that you watched them? How much more did you watch them? What's the kind of shit you did?
I didn't let them go over people's house. You could not spend the night on nobody's house because I don't know nothing about your daddy, but I know I don't want to fuck your friends. I don't know how crazy they are. Bring your friends over here. I never let them go over nobody's house. I never let just get in cars with people. I pick you up. You know, I just kept it open. And, you know, but my daughter was there when I sold drugs. She was there when I got shot twice. One time in the head by my kid's father. Then a guy blew my nip off. So my daughter was there the night the nigga blew my nip off.
Nip or lip?
Nipple.
Nipple?
Yeah, he shot me with a .45 and blew my nip off. So she saw all of that shit.
How old is she now?
She's 28.
And how's she doing?
I think that's why she gay.
Oh, that's the gay one?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want your kids to see? What don't you want them to see? That's the question I live with now.
Well, I keep it real. My other kids, like my daughter, my younger kids, they know I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. But, you know, bitch always trying to challenge me because she thinks she's smarter than me. Like, we was at the dinner table the other day, and she was like, she come home and telling her daddy before school ended, you know, what she learned in history about Hitler. And she look at me and tell my mama, what you know about history? I said, I know three niggas got killed on the east side. Bitch, that history. Do you know how to turn cocaine into crack?
Because
ain't nobody at this table can do that but me. So I'm the smartest bitch at this table. And I said, do you know how to run with a baby in your hand from the police and not drop the fucking baby? I'm smarter than you. And I constantly tell her that. Because she look like she'll drop the baby.
It's amazing how I have what you have. I have a street eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I have a street eye. So when I'm out, I'm looking at things that you don't even fucking dream of looking at. I'm looking at shit that you're not even looking at. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, why is that guy over there? I'm thinking different fucking shit.
Yeah, that's how I
think. I don't think nothing happy. I don't know what the fuck people are talking about. You know, I'm always fucking paying attention. I see it with my wife. When I take my wife to the park with the kid, I want to strangle her. She'll get into a conversation with a woman and the baby walks 5 feet. Talk this way. Talk looking at the fucking kid. Talk telepathically. The fuck you taking your eyes off the fucking kid for? I tell her all the time, don't take it, because what do motherfuckers say after that? I turn my back for a minute. What the fuck you bring you? It was no fucking minute, but it was a minute. That's how quick those little motherfuckers get picked up or get stabbed or fall or get whatever. You know, so I come from a different fucking society. I'm looking at completely different shit at the airport.
Yeah.
I'm looking at different shit.
And I think that's from that street mentality. Like, I don't walk out. I walk into a place, I look around at everything. Because that's how you get killed, by not fucking paying attention. And I teach my kids, look a motherfucker in the eye. Because if you look them in the eye, them eyes tell you the story of everything. A motherfucker who gonna kidnap, they already know what they about to do before they do it. But you look at me, my eyes say, fuck with me today and I kill your motherfucking ass. First of all, I'm too heavy for you to pick up and run with me. So your pistol better work. And I just give it to him in my eye. Don't fucking try me. I'm ovulating and today ain't the day. You will be fucked up. So, and I tell them all the time, but you people walk in place and them not paying attention. I pay attention to everything.
I pay attention to everything. I mean,
I don't know what the fuck in your book bag. I don't know what the fuck you going through, but you not about to kill me because you having a bad day. Like, in Atlanta, a couple years ago, before I moved to Indy, this old stupid motherfucker get over the overpass and gonna jump off. And everybody trying to, you know, talk him down. I'm like, would you fucking jump so I can keep going home? You got traffic blocked up because you having a bad day. Don't fucking hold my day up because you wants to kill yourself. Go to your garage and blow your brains out. So, I mean, that's just the type of person I am.
Now, when you got shot in the head, what happened? Break it down for me.
I was, when I got shot in the head, one minute. My kid's father shot me in the head. When I got shot.
50-year-old.
Yeah, he's fucking 50 now. I was at my house with a guy. He comes over and want to play like he bad. He said he didn't mean to shoot me, but he hit me with a 38, and that bitch blew a nice chunk out the back of my head. And then this motherfucker didn't even stick around to see if I was going to die. He actually ran off and left me. I woke up and went and called 911. Blood everywhere.
How long were you in the hospital for? A
couple of days, because it only like cracked my skull. It's a nice big-ass scar back there. So the doctor was like, we don't even know how you alive. I said, I guess God got a story for me, something for me to do.
And who shot the nipple off?
Oh, some nigga I was arguing with over a fucking cocaine transaction. He spit on my car, so I stick the pistol in his face. And he come at with an automatic with my little fucking broken 38 not working. That's what I learned. If you going to draw a gun on somebody, go and kill him. Go and kill him. Don't draw shit on nobody and not use them. Go and kill their ass. And he came back and he hit me up under my arm and blew my nipple off.
Let me tell you something. I'm getting stressed out just talking to you.
Why?
Because it takes me back.
Yeah. I got to tell you this story.
I was taken back. Look at Lee. Why are you red in the face, cocksucker?
Because you're talking. Who shot you in the nipple? Oh, just some guy. If I got shot, and I was in the area of someone getting shot once, I would never leave the house ever again.
That's your scary ass.
Oh, my God. I can't even.
It's amazing, man.
I used to do some crazy shit. Because back in, when you're young, you don't think you can die. Like I tell you, the time my kid's father was cheating on me, right? So honestly, I was in the West End. I was walking across the overpass. And I just happened to look over the overpass. And this motherfucker is down there in his car with a bitch. Oh, my mind just collapsed. I jumped off the overpass onto that motherfucker car. Like, who is this bitch in the car with you?
Did you knock her out?
No, that motherfucker drove off and I fell out the car. He fucked my leg up. He go to myself, he didn't know that was me. I was like, bitch, you see me coming down out the air. How the fuck you not know that was me? I was calling your name in the air. What the fuck is this bitch doing in your car until I hit the hood?
Now, your new husband, what's he think about all this lifestyle?
He's like, crazy. Everybody always ask him, did you shoot in the chest?
He's in the service, right?
He was. He's not anymore. He works for General.
He's retired from the service?
No. He just did his little term and got the fuck on.
Now, when was the day you woke up and decided that's it?
You know what? I was epidemic.
Because even after you say that's it, you got the energy around you for a couple more years.
Yeah, I was just tired. I was tired of fucking selling crack. I mean, my kids was headed to where I was headed. Then I was like, what if I get killed and I got to get my kids to this pussy ass dude? Or what if I go to prison? He ain't stable. He had like 22 kids at the time. So I just started praying. I said, Lord, I really need my kids a daddy. And I went to a comedy club and I met my husband. And I was like, he don't know. He just answered this ad I had in the newspaper. Nahum baby daddy. And I gave him the little up and down. He's very intelligent, speaks really well. You know, I'm country as fuck. So I needed somebody I could learn from. His tennis shoe was clean and he had his back teeth. I was like, bam, you got the job.
And you've been with him how long?
24 years.
And you have two other children with him?
Just two with him. I met him, I had two.
Right, so you got four altogether. And what's he think? When did you turn the fucking craziness off? What day did you say that
shit? He turned the craziness off. Because at the time, I was still selling crack, and I was into forging checks and shit. And so he was like, well, what if you, something happened to you? You know, what about these kids? And he was like, you know, if we're going to be together, we really got to, you got to get a job. I was like, a fucking job? Where they do that at? They don't do that around here. You know, I'm used to going outside, writing, forging checks, and making $800, $2,000, then sell my crack. And I'm back at home by 2 o'clock with $5,000, $6,000 in my pocket. But he was an honest man. Never been to jail, never committed a crime, never had a traffic ticket. And he just, I ask him all the time, where the fuck did you stay with me? I was stupid as fuck. I get to fighting at the football game one day, and we was in an all-white neighborhood. This is after I started to get my life back together. The guy struck my son out. Now, I'm a hood ghetto bitch, and my husband don't raise his voice for that. I jump up, pregnant with his first child, run out on the football field, and punch the shit out of the umpire. No, nigga, you gonna let him back one more time. That wasn't right. That hit his arm. And everybody like, what the fuck? I'm up here about 5 months pregnant, knocked the shit out the umpire. And when nobody that, we the only black people, I'm acting straight niggerish. My husband's standing there like, I can't believe this bitch just hit this man. They ended up issuing a warrant for me, and I had to go, because I got my criminal background history say all drugs. So I had to go to a fucking AA meeting for 6 months. Listen to crackheads.
As part of the...
Yeah, part of the thing, the probation. Service, yeah, I had to go and listen to crackheads for 6 months. I was pissed.
How long have you been a decent person
for? Probably 24 years. 23 years. You've been a decent when I got with him, that shit was over. That life was gone. I was done.
Was it love?
Not at first, because I told him, I said, look, I've been with my kid's father for a long time, but he was beating on me, he was cheating on me, he was fucking veneer disease, gonorrhea, crabs, fleas, all that shit. Everything. You ever had fleas and gonorrhea? That shit is painful.
I have no gonorrhea, but I have the crabs. Yeah. You ever have crabs, Lee?
No.
You ever give him in your nose and your pussy. Eyebrows?
Oh, God.
No. He never ate ass with crab in it and shit. Like the fucking steak they give you at fucking the Palms in New York. My man Spino there, he gives you that steak with the fucking crab on top. Wait till we give you a little asshole with a little crab marinara on the side. And your fucking little Jew ears turn red, cocksucker.
Oh, he ain't been through shit. He probably ain't got but 5 pubic hair and 2 of them up on his balls.
No. He's come a long way, though, you know.
But I started to get my life back together when he, you know, my husband's like, we just can't do this. And I gave it all up.
Was it love?
It was love. I love the shit out of my. I got the best husband. Never judged me. Never said, bitch, I could tuck you out the ghetto. Don't call me no bitch, first of all. I ain't gonna have nobody disrespect me. But, you know, never disrespect me. Never put his hand on me. Always been a fucking straight up good guy. And when I used to tell him these horrible stories, he never judged. He just listened.
You think it was God in a way that put him in your
life? Yes, it had to be, because I was headed for death.
And when you seen him the first couple of weeks, you're like, what the fuck, this poor motherfucker.
Well, you know what? I really wasn't dating him. What happened was, he would watch my kids while I go out and forge checks. And I would tell him, I'm going to bring you some Tommy Hilfiger back. So he started off kind of like as my babysitter. And then I would get evicted all the time because I wouldn't pay my rent because I wouldn't have money. I'd be done fucked off on, you know, went to the club. And I was getting evicted. I was like, I got to find a way to get me an apartment. And he said, I'll get you an apartment. I was like, for real? Because that don't happen in the hood. You know, dude with good credit, that you don't get no man with no job and good credit and don't beat on you. And he black. Shit. That was a gold mine.
It's funny because I was fucking crazy. I was fucking crazy, dog. I was going to Miami and doing blow. I was coming back and doing spots at the store and sleeping on Ralphie Mae's fucking floor and arguing with my wife. And it was just a fucking horror show in my life. And one Sunday night, I walk into the Comedy Store. And as I'm walking up the stairs, this girl's walking down the stairs. And we just looked. And she kept walking. I didn't say nothing. And an hour later, I went back to get a soda or whatever the fuck I was drinking. I started talking. It's my wife. And we started talking. And about 3 nights later, I called her. I got $30 from somewhere. And I called her. And I said, you want to do something? Let's get coffee. We got coffee and smoked a few cigarettes. And And I remember her sitting across from me and going, this girl's interested in me. I can't believe this. This girl's a Christian girl from Tennessee. She's white. Don't smoke reefer. Don't do blow. Don't do drugs or pills. Never even knows about it. Said she had a roommate in the Valley that was, she didn't know what she was doing, but the spoons were all black. They were all burnt, you know. She didn't know. She was that fucking naive. And I start dating her, and I remember one time I'm going to New York to do a fucking show. And I swear to God, Miss Pat, I had $20. And I remember, she was a waitress, she made like $40. And I was with her maybe a month and a half. And she says, how are you going to get to the airport? I go, I have no idea. She goes, do you have any money? I got like $30. She gave me $40 and half a pack of cigarettes. And I remember going to the airport, she's driving me, I'm going, I can't believe this is happening to me. I gotta love this girl. I gotta like this girl. And I don't wanna like this girl because I don't deserve this woman. Mm. That's what I kept thinking. And then we started dating, hanging out more, and then fucking one day I just move in. And the whole 6 months, I'm like, this is fucking craziness that this girl even cooks for me and asks me about my clothes, where are they, that she wants to wash them. I just couldn't fucking believe it, man. And 12 years later, I got a baby with this fucking kid, with this woman.
That's how I felt too. Like when I first got with my husband, because I'm used to a man disrespecting me and putting his hand on me and treating me like shit and cheating on me. So when I got my husband and he wasn't disrespecting me and putting his hand on me, I would use his car during the day while he went to work. He used to work at Simmons Mattress. And I remember I would leave his job just crying, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for such a good man. Because I mean, you know, I didn't think that would fucking ever happen. I mean, so instantly, because once I got rid of Darryl, he just popped up out of nowhere.
We got to close one door before another one opens.
Yeah, but I actually prayed. I knew I was over him. I went and I got on my knees one day and I said, Lord, I've asked you for years to change this clown. I said, but you won't listen to me. I said, so I'm coming to you sincerely with my heart open. I fuck him. Change me. I went to bed. I slept with him that night. I slept with him the next day, and I did not have no desire. Just like that, God turned me off. I had no desire for him after that. I remember I could still see me laying there saying, I wish this motherfucker would get off me. No desire. And that was on a Tuesday. That Friday, I met my husband. Went to a comedy show.
When did you get into comedy? How long were you with him?
I got into comedy. Never thought I was funny. People always been attracted to me. So I went to the welfare office and told, you know, I would tell these fucked up stories about my life. You know, how my baby daddy beat me and my mama was an alcoholic. And I remember telling this story about my mama used to get drunk all the time. And I said, every time she got drunk, she wanted to motivate me. And she would say shit like, reach for the stars and I hope you hit the sun and burn up. And I was like, this bitch trying to kill me. you know, be all you could be, and if that don't work out, you can always be a hoe. But I was 8 years old, and she was telling me this shit. So what I did was I would go to my caseworkers, and I would tell them how horrible my life was. And one day I get this black caseworker, and I tell her all these stories, and this bitch just busts out laughing. So I'm like, what are you laughing at? She was like, you should be a fucking comedian. I was like, ain't that funny about this shit? She was like, this shit is hilarious. And I was like, really? And I went and looked.
What was the first spot?
My first spot?
Yeah, where was it?
It was a little pub place called the Irish Pub. And I would go up there every Monday night just to test it out. And the first time I went up there, I could jone, you know, talk about people real good. And it worked out really well. Didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm a comedian.
How long ago was that?
11 years ago.
Damn.
It's my 11th year this year.
And you're making strides, you're fucking them up. But it's funny that you're very fortunate because you cut through a lot of bullshit with this podcast world. Because now these motherfuckers are going to get to know where you're coming from. See, if they see you sometimes doing material up on stage, they think that's who you are. And they judge you on that. I learned that years ago when I watched 24/7. Those boxing things on HBO or on UFC, they always show a motherfucker's house.
Mm-hmm.
And they show his wife. So you may have not liked the motherfucker because the way he boxed. But once you got to see his wife and his kids and how he performed and how he acted, you fell in love with the dude because now you knew his struggle.
Yeah.
And because of the podcast world and because of the internet, now, you know, when I fucking came up, I used to look up to Richard Pryor. I know he lit himself on fire. And I know he was fucked up on drugs, but that was it. I didn't know he had kids. I didn't know about his personal life. I didn't know what his struggles were. After JoJo Dance, I found out his mother was a hooker. Mm-hmm. And he saw all the shit that we saw growing up. That's what gives him a little bit of the insight. That's what, you know, people like you and I, we saw some shit. And the way to make it better is by making ourselves laugh.
Yeah.
When we're in that corner saying to yourself, Jesus, what the fuck did I just see? And all of a sudden you just make a joke to yourself. And you go to bed and everything's better.
Yeah. I mean, I did that many nights.
Many nights. That's why
especially I learned living family. In a house with my grandfather, you know, doing bootlegging shit, you had to. I mean, just saw so much shit. Like, I saw my granddaddy shoot a bitch about 10 times while I'm standing on the porch. She called him a black faggot. You know, back in them days, you don't call black men no faggot.
No.
Oh, that was like, hey, you could have got away with the N-word being a white man, but faggot? Oh, yeah. Hell no. They had too much to prove. And they called my grandfather 38. He carried two 38 pistols in his pocket. He was like a big motherfucker, like a wrestler. He had hands like fucking a 13 shoe. I saw my granddaddy hit a dude so hard, knock that bitch across the street, and he caught the bus at the same fucking time. And this lady was in there, and she was acting a fool. I had to be about 8. And he drugged the bitch out and threw it. Go home, bitch. And she like, you black faggot. And he didn't go for that shit. He shot her finger off. He said, now go on, bitch. I done shot your finger off. And she kept talking. He just took them two pistols out like Rambo. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. He said, now, bitch, you gonna need an ambulance. So my aunt ran outside. She said, daddy, why you shooting woman? He was like, fuck her, bitch. Go pour out the moonshine so I don't get no moonshine charge. And I'm sitting here thinking like, you done shot this bitch by 12 times and you worry about a moonshine charge? So we pulled out all the looking shit and called 911. He fucked that lady up. So it was nothing to see, you know, like crazy shit. Like my granddad knocking a motherfucker out, shooting a motherfucker, pistol whooping a motherfucker for drinking his liquor and not having his money.
It's fucking crazy, man. That's how you cope with it.
Oh, I got to tell you this. So I had an uncle named Uncle Cecil. He was crippled. You know, his two legs fucking damn near stuck together. So my granddad would buy him pussy. I'm sorry. So my granddaddy would buy, that was my granddaddy's son. He would buy my Uncle Cecil pussy, right? True story. So when he buy him pussy, he tell the hoe, he crippled, just let him get some pussy. But my Uncle Cecil was the type of, he was a retard, but he smiled all the time. So the hoe would let my Uncle Cecil get on top of him, and me and my sister had to go in there and pull my Uncle Cecil's legs together until he put his dick in it. I'm not lying to you. And I remember one day he was laughing so hard because he was happy he was about to get some pussy. And I was like, nigga, stop laughing and stick your dick in. I want to go play Pac-Man.
This is the shit, Lee.
And once he get it in there and get started, we could leave. But we couldn't leave until he got the dick in.
That's fucking crazy.
But my granddad bought him pussy all the time. And it wasn't nothing. Like, I just bought your Uncle C some pussy. Go back there and help.
Can you imagine if you told somebody that today, like out in a bar, like 3 days later, you get a fucking visit from social services.
You get drugged up out of that.
You buy your fucking crippled son some hooker. They knock on your door. You could not have get him a piece of pussy. And if you see somebody who's crippled or sick, that's what they need half the time, is a good piece of pussy. It's not being crippled is bad enough. Now you can't get a piece of pussy, even just to lick it.
You know what? And he was like really retarded. Like, he sat on the porch every day, and everybody who went into our bootleg house, he would say shit like, hey boy, give me two nickels. Two nickels make a dime. Let me tell you about this story. If you gave him a dime, he would beat the fuck out of you. He didn't like dimes. He liked nickels. So if you walk in that house and fuck around and gave him some dime, he would put a chokehold on your ass that didn't want it.
Fucking dimes.
He didn't like dimes, and he didn't like uniform police officers. Cause back in the day, that was like the late 70s. They wore bow ties. So he liked whooping on police's ass. He would call 911 and hang up. So, you know, they'll rush out to your house. And when he get there, he will beat the shit out of him. One day, he grabbed this white woman by her bow tie and drug that bitch in the house. And I'll tell you, my retarded uncle, he would cripple. He would pile driving the shit out of this bitch. She called back up, I swear. I think police was jumping out of helicopters down on my retarded uncle. When they fold that nigga up like a blanket. So when we would go to the store, Uncle Cecil, if you had on a uniform, he'll beat your ass. So we literally walked him like a dog with a chain around his waist. Because if you had on you, he was going to put you on a chokehold. Man, he was MM fighting before MM fighting got out. And he only ate out of pots. He would not eat out of a plate. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but you had to give him a pot with a hand on it. I don't give a fuck if you were serving gravy, biscuit, pour all that shit in there together. And that's how he ate. He was scared of plates. He was the weirdest person. He didn't like dimes. He didn't like uniform. And he didn't like plates.
I don't like soy milk, hummus, or fucking whatever this shit
you ranch.
Eat. Ranch fucking dressing.
I don't eat ranch.
So we're just as fucking crazy here. Miss Pat, man, it's been fucking interesting. It's very interesting that we have similar backgrounds. We saw some shit, and that's who we are on stage. And, you know, people respect that, or people don't like us because it's too fucking real. Sometimes you just come across like with a real, you know, it's just people get thrown so much bullshit now, they don't even know what's real and what's fake any fucking more when somebody's talking to them.
Well, I kind of wish comedy would kind of get back to like the Richard Pryor and the Bill Cosby. You know, back then, if you was a comedian, you had some type of talent. Anybody can be a comedian now. I mean, literally, your fucking assistant, if he wanted to be a
That's
comedian.
That's my partner in crime,
yeah,
the Jew.
Your partner, he just get on stage and, you know, do whatever. And I see it all the time. And, you know, sometimes I ask myself, Joey, I say, well, am I too real? Because, you know, the shit that happened to me, they think it's supposed to only happen to a man. I get up there talking about a motherfucker shot me in the head, and it wasn't his fault, it's my fault, because I ducked slow. And white women like, oh, my God, you would be surprised how many white women want to cry. Go on, leave me alone, bitch. I don't want to cry. This shit is funny. You buy a t-shirt and get the fuck out of my line, because I ain't crying about this shit. I don't got time to be crying. Life is too short. You know, take your cousin and play them the way you want to play them. You can make it out of a pity party, or you can make it out of a real party. Life to me is all about get up, get out, and get something. I ain't got time to be crying about a motherfucking thing, especially nothing that happened to me in 86. I don't give a fuck if it happened yesterday. I'm turning it into something positive. And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, a lot of comedy, they think, a lot of, you know, young people think they comics. They just go on stage and talk about anything. Me personally, I don't want to hear nothing about you can't get no pussy. I want to hear something that I can remember you by. A lot of motherfuckers in this club tonight can't get no pussy. I don't want to hear nothing about you suck dick. A lot of bitches suck dick. I don't suck dick because I got vertigo. But back in the day, I tried the shit. It ain't for me. It's too much work. It is. I mean, I want to hear some real shit. I want to hear some real comedy. And, you know, that's where I think a lot of people...
People get fucking offended easily, too, now.
Yeah, I tell them, go fuck yourself. I had one lady in Canada damn near wanted... She wouldn't stop crying. I'm like, look here, bitch. Go on over there somewhere. Before I called the queen.
Why was she crying?
She was like, because I told the stories about, you know, how I was shot and motherfucker touched me and the ding-a-ling man or whatever I tell. You know, sometimes I just go off rant. This ain't even no joke. I was telling about my kid's father, how we so different in age, and you call it child molestation, but I call it let's make a deal. How dare you? My daddy touched me. I don't got shit to do about your daddy playing in your pussy. Now, you either talk to your counselor or you get over this shit. But I'm not your counselor, bitch. Get the fuck away from me. I don't do counseling. Don't get away from that shit. Go write you a book. I'm trying to write me a book, too, bitch. Go write a book about your daddy hand up your ass and get over it. Ain't nothing you can do. Ain't like you can go back there. He didn't leave his hand in your ass. Is it hurting you? Well, then get over and do something about it. Write a book so other little girls don't get their hands stuck up, their daddy hands stuck up in their ass. I don't want to hear your problem. I got my own fucking problem. My motherfucking light bill due.
Shit. Drop it, Lee, cocksucker. Look at Lee. You're not even stoned and you're stoned.
I thank God I'm not stoned.
All right, let me give some shout outs here. Armando Salgado, Jerry Henson, Gabriel Mogoza, Jim Jorgensen, Wait for Dusk, Art Barr, Ted Lynch, and Louis B.A., whatever your fucking name is. I don't even know anymore. You know what I'm saying, Lee? You fucking killed me tonight there. I love it. I love having fucking controversy on this motherfucker. People at home sweating bullets right now. Thinking, what the fuck? It's a Sunday night. People getting shot in the head. Nipples getting shot off. On it for all your fucking needs. You understand me? Any nutrients, supplements, whatever the fuck you need. Onnit.com, they got it going on. Their main thing is the Alpha brand. 100% guaranteed you'll be running on all motherfucking cylinders. You understand me? Go to Onnit.com and press on what, Lee?
Church.
Church, C-H-U-R-C-H. get 10% off, get put on the list. They got the Stay On It program. They got kettlebells. On It's got so much fucking shit going on. They got the digestive enzymes now. I'm waiting on them so I can tell you guys how I feel on those papaya enzymes. I think they're papaya enzymes. I hope they are. I think they're just tremendous. I'm hearing that they have the testosterone powders fucking working for a lot of people. Some guys sent me some emails, but the only way to find out is to go to On It. Give it a shot. Columbus did, right? What the fuck? Go press it in and see what they send you. Also on the list today, some of my favorite fucking people right here is my main motherfuckers, Hulu Plus. I love Hulu Plus, you understand me? And I'm going to tell you why. You can watch Scandal, The Daily Show, Modern Family. You can watch it on your smart TV, your computer, your Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, PlayStation. You can also get access to originals you can't get nowhere else. And you can binge on fucking 10 episodes of anything, 12 episodes, whatever the fuck you want. What we do at churches, it's $7.99 a month. But you get 2 weeks for free. $7.99 a month is like a fucking quarter a day. You understand me? But because you're a member of the church, you get 2 weeks for free. So when you go order right after this fucking podcast, what are they pressing the box, Lee?
Joey.
Joey in the fucking Hulu Plus, J-O-E-Y. You understand me? They ain't fucking around. HuluPlus.com. Go to the box and press what?
Joey.
Oh, shit. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. $7.99 a month. And fucking free for 2 weeks, so you get to give it a shot. Who does that? When was the last time you gave somebody crack and said, sample it for 2 weeks and come back? Nobody does that shit. Hulu Plus does that type of shit. Also, Father's Day's coming. Why fuck around? Dollar Shave Club. They got a dollar, $6, and a $9 package. I mean, what the fuck? Why are you going to go for bells and whistles? It's got a fucking remote control. It's got a stethoscope. Who needs a... All you need is a fucking razor to shave your fucking face clean and smooth. You understand me? Way before that junk. Why be a fucking mook like the rest of these people and spend $2,000 for this or $100 a month in razors? Who? Fucking who? Dollar Shave Club got it going on. $1, $6, or $9. You understand me? For the year. $9 a month times 12. That's what?
108.
108 for fucking a year. That's what most people spend every 3 months on fucking razors. You don't believe me? Go down. Go down to the fucking store. Wait online like a fucking half a mutt. And when you get there, you're going to go, Jesus, Joey was correct. He's taking fucking care of me. He's looking out for me. That's a fucking true soldier. So go to Dollar Shave Club. Go to the Box and Press.
Church.
There you go. Dollar Shave Club / fucking, what is it? /.com. Church. Whatever. I don't
just go to JoeyDiaz.net.
Just go to JoeyDiaz.net and get your shit together. You're going to be happy. Not only that, they got a post fucking workout, a pre shave ointment. They got the fucking things you wipe your asshole with.
One wipe Charlie's.
One wipe Charlie's. Where are you going to get that type of action? Shaving, you keep your balls in order, and your wife could use it. Who's better than me? Also, escapepodtank.com. They ain't fucking around the month of fucking June, okay? Off the fucking chain, the numbers they're doing this month. They're fucking tremendous. Call Jeremy, 1-800-NUMBER. He's always got fucking answers, right, Lee? He always answers the phone. He'll hook you up.
He's awesome.
Just get the fucking, just the tank model. You're going to save thousands. Any tank they got, industrial, commercial, residential, you're going to save a couple fucking G-notes on it. You know why? Because that's how escapepod.tank. What is it?
Escape pod tank.
Escapepodtank.com works. Go to escapepodtank.com right now. Don't fuck around. See what they got. Maybe you want to get a flotation device for your house. You fill it up with Epsom salt. You wash your nuts. You go in there. You smoke a half a number. And you can see your own future. Who needs a fucking squeegee ball or whatever the fuck you need? Go to escapepodtank.com. If you get something, mention Joey Diaz. Get $250 off. But just the tank, one of the leading models, you get $150 off right now. You're going to save thousands. Go to escapepodtank.com. Why fuck around? Also, this weekend, I'm going to be at fucking Governor's. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all three shows. I don't even know where the fucking different towns are. Belford, fucking this, that. Levittown is Saturday. The one place is Friday, and the other place is Thursday. If you're not, go to governors.com, see what they got. Also, the shirts are in. The patches are in. The mugs are in. Why fuck around? Go to joeydiaz.net. Get your tour dates, patches, T-shirts. Do what the fuck you got to do. you sexy motherfucker.
Can you breathe after all that shit?
That's why I had to stop smoking reefer.
I stopped talking just in case I need to give your ass CPR.
You don't wake up. I didn't know you knew about CPR.
I used to be a fake-ass medical assistant. I did a little bit of everything.
Okay, you got it. You got it. In today's economy, you got to play a couple fucking different titles.
Yeah, one thing I won't do is sell pussy, George. That shit have gone. Ain't no value to selling that shit.
Listen, man, I love you for coming over here today.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Where you at this weekend? Where you at the next couple weeks?
Go to my website. I know I'm playing Lafayette Theater in September. Fuck it. I don't know. My website, Comedian Miss Pat, is MissPatComedy.com, Twitter and Facebook. I can't fucking remember, Joy. I'm over 40. I can barely see.
Tough. It's fucking
tough. You're in Montana, Missouri, Lake Osage, wherever that is.
Yeah, I'm there.
On the 16th. You're on Deja Vu Comedy Club.
Yeah.
On the 16th and 19th. Says, and then in the Funny Bone in Dayton on the 24th.
That's a special night, y'all. I need y'all to come out and support me because I really want this club to start giving me an opportunity.
What club is that?
Dayton Funny Bone.
And what night?
It's a Thursday night. It's a special
24th.
Event. 24th of what?
July.
July. 24th of July. Go see it. You got some fucking heavy duty. You had a life, man. That's why comedy comes easy. This shit's easy for you. That shit you were doing before was hard. This shit's fucking like stealing.
Yeah.
You gotta go up on stage and tell people your life and connect with them and you're beautiful, you know.
Well, thank
you. You're black and shit. You know
they say when they was like, you a female Joey Diaz, I pulled you up, I was like, we just shaped alike. We don't look alike.
We don't look alike, fucking knucklehead. You know what? Fuck Earth, Wind, and Fire. How about a little Chaka Khan Ain't Nobody for my girl, Miss Pat? That's how I fucking run it tonight. It's a special Sunday night edition. You know, Miss Pat, I'm happy you came on tonight. You made me think a lot of shit tonight. You made me think of drugs and fucking how lucky I am to have my wife because she saved us. You know, it's amazing that after 9 months I was dating, I'm like, this ain't gonna work. This poor girl, she gonna figure out I'm a fucking bum. She never figured it out, man.
Because you never was a bum.
No, she never figured
it
out.
It was just the cards dealt you and that made you believe that, you know, whatever you went through. A lot of times people can see through all that bullshit. You know, you can tell when a motherfucker gonna come over your house and steal your DVD player, right?
That bitch said to me one night, she goes, we were dating like 8 months, and one night she goes, you know, I gotta tell you something. I could actually tell that you grew up without a mom's love, like for a couple of years. My mom died. And that freaked me out because I grew up with a lot of people who never said that to me. There's this little white girl from Tennessee who figured me out, you know, and that fucked up my head for months. And it made me hate her, but love her at the same time, you know. But I'm happy I stayed, and I'm happy you stayed, because I know you had your doubts at times, but...
Oh, I did, but, you know...
Who the fuck knows? And that's what... I hope you motherfuckers learned the lesson tonight. It wasn't about getting shot in the head and your nipples cut off and...
It was about
smoking crack.
No matter how many times you get knocked down, just get the fuck up.
Who gives a fuck? They can't stop you.
No, they can't.
Man, that's what they want to do. They want to stop you, and they want you to become a group groper, and they want you to tell people to feel sorry for them. Fuck that noise. You fucking eat a roast beef sandwich, you scratch your nuts, you smell your motherfucking fingers. And you go out there and fucking shoot a motherfucker.
I don't know where I just saw you stretching your nuts and smell them. And to me, they smell like roast beef.
I don't fuck around. You understand me? It's 9 o'clock. I took a shower like at 6. So right now, they could be
on fire. I need to scratch my balls.
Scratch that motherfucker. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. with the doctor giving us some health advice tomorrow and shit like that. What's up with you, Lisa? I had dropping on him.
Nothing. Just tomorrow. And if you want to...
Tomorrow's Lee's debut again. We got about 144 Green Hornets. Lee's going to fucking go with the Iranian government. He's going to go 100 days straight like that movie. What's the movie when what's his name goes over and saves the prisoners? Argo?
Yeah.
How many days were the prisoners over there?
I have no idea.
Like 144. You got to fucking match it. You're going to do edibles for 144 days.
Fuck that.
Fuck you. You're a soldier. A Jewish fucking tank. That's what you are, you bad motherfucker. You got the little blue matching the shirt up there, the Israeli flag.
What are you going to do?
We'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Hit me. Thank you, Miss Pat. I love you. Stay black and beautiful.
Thank you for having it. Well, I can't change color, but okay.
Motherfuckers do all the time.
Oh, yeah, y'all can.
Motherfuckers do all the time.
I can change my hairdo, but not my color.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. Don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And thank you to EscapePodTank.com. Go there for just the tank model. Save $150.